But before I go on with my sermon, I have a riddle for you. What was the mechanic's diagnosis of the tow truck who could not pull the car through the tunnel? So the tow truck could not pull the car through the tunnel. He diagnosed the problem. And you know what that was? It was carpal tunnel syndrome. So, okay. So anyway, like I said, I was on the road way too long to come up with that one. But anyway, but the first thing God taught me on that on a particular road trip was that there's background noise. There's always background noise, and that affects our lives. Background noise affects our lives. You may not realize it, but there's always that background noise there. When I was on this one trip, I recall, the cicadas were the background noise. And we drove and we drove, and as far as we could drive east, it seemed like the cicadas got louder and louder. You know what the cicadas are, don't you? These bug-eyed flies that come out every so often and just make this incredibly buzzing noise that's very loud. But here's my thought. At the first sound of the cicadas, it was like deafening to our ears. And this wasn't on the latest trip, this was on an earlier trip. But they were deafening to our ears, but the more we were around them, we didn't notice them anymore. Did you ever have that happen to you? Where it just becomes commonplace and you don't even notice it. But when the new folks come in or the visitors come in, it's unfamiliar to the ears when they hear this. And the question I want to ask you this morning is, what is your background noise? What are you accommodated to right now? And is it healthy for you? Is your background noise healthy for you? We all have a background noise that we have grown accustomed to because even on a subconscious level, we don't even notice it. And this really has a big impact on how we operate in our life. In the New Testament, Jesus says something interesting on this lines when he says, "He who has ears, let him hear." This is a common phrase that he says in different times when he shares his parable. And when I first thought about that phrase, I thought, well, that's just, he's just saying, let everybody hear, because let's face it, everyone has a pair of ears. So we typically have the ability to hear. But now I realize, I think it's more than that. I think what Jesus is telling us to do is listen by faith. In other words, let faith in Christ be your background noise. Let our faith in God, in a sense, be the stethoscope through which we listen to God and operate in our lives. If we do this, then serving and loving and following God, it's going to be a lot easier for us. If our background noise isn't godly, or if it's worldly, or if it's full of things like materialism or selfishness, then it's going to be much harder to follow the Lord. Because that worldly background noise, it drowns out that voice we need to hear, that still small voice of God. And if our background noise isn't what it needs to be, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard, almost impossible to really live the way God wants us to live. It's important for each of us to assess the background noise of our lives that can subtly take over our thoughts, our psyche, our attitudes, and ultimately it can take over our actions as well. And if it is destructive, if it is worldly, then guess what? We ourselves are going to be in a world of hurt. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul admonition to the Romans in Romans chapter 12, which is kind of the first 11 chapters of Romans, really theology. It's the theology part. But then we get to Romans chapter 12, there's a switch. He switches gears and it becomes the application part. And he says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And that right there, that's how do you transform? How do you transform your mind? How do you renew your mind? Well, you change your background noise from the world's to God's. But how do you do that? Well, Paul says that in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. So you got to take all look at what God has done for us, and that helps, and that's the beginning. We begin by understanding and embracing the amazing grace God offers us through His Son Jesus and His work on the cross. It means seeing our entire life as a gift from God. Do you see your life as a gift from God? Do you see that our purpose in life is to bring glory to God? And doing so, if we understand that, we can then engage in a spiritual act of worship toward God. We can understand what His will is. But it begins by looking and hearing and understanding your background noise and asking you, is it the right one? Is this God's voice? What does your background noise say to you? Does it criticize and condemn others who are different than you? Is that what you hear all the time in the back of your mind? They're like, oh, you know, judge people. Say that person is different and I'm going to stay away from that person. Maybe your background noise actually criticizes and condemns you. It's like a broken record going off in your mind and you're always saying, woe is me and I wish I was stronger, I wish I was prettier, I wish I was whatever, smarter. Maybe the background noise whispers in your ear that says, hey, I only live once, go for the gusto and get all I can right now in this world. And it doesn't matter who I hurt or who I step on, it's my turn, it's my right, and I'm going to get it. Maybe that background noise feeds you the line that it says, in the back of your mind, it says, you know, God is not real, religion is not real, it's all a waste of time. That people who get together and worship the Lord, they've lost sight of reality. There's a lot of people out there to believe that. And they like to share their ideas sometimes and tell you that. Maybe your background noise tempts you to enter unhealthy relationships. Whatever it is, we need to tune in to God's voice. And at first, we hear that, it might be strange to our ears. When we hear certain things, certain truths in the Bible, they kind of hurt our ears. When Stephen, the men's Bible study just got together, and we were looking at the man of Stephen, and he gave this sermon, and the Pharisees, the religious rulers of the time, they stopped their ears, they closed their ears, they didn't want to hear the truth, and they rushed at Stephen, and they killed him, they murdered him. Because the words he was saying were truth, and they couldn't handle that. And sometimes that's true for us. We hear words, the Bible, we don't want to accept. We don't like what the Bible says. For example, it says, out of men's heart come evil thoughts, and they make him unclean. That's unpleasant to hear, but it's truth. What should our background noise sound like? Well, it should say something. God is speaking to us. In my wisdom and love, I made you, God's saying to us. I've known you before you were in your mother's womb. I know you better than you know yourself. I know what's best for you. I know your thoughts before you even think them. And I have such great things I want to share with you. Things in store that are beyond your imagination. But sometimes your life will be extremely difficult, God says to us. Other times your life will be, you'll be on cloud nine. You'll be extremely happy. But all of it is a part of my plan. You just got to have faith in my wisdom, in my love for you, in the power that I have, in my righteousness to make everything right in the end. More importantly, God is saying to us, have faith. Have faith in my Son Jesus. He is the one. He is the exact representation of God Himself. He died for you. He took away your sins so that you could have an eternal relationship with God forever and ever in heaven. So my point one here is assess your background noise and make adjustments if you must, if you want to follow the Lord. Second, circumstances can be easily misjudged when you're always in the bubble. Okay? Circumstances. We can make erroneous conclusions when we're always in the bubble. And what I mean by the bubble is we're always in our own little world. On the road, our bubble is the minivan. When we go on the road, we're kind of in that little bubble. It's our little world there. And we have our conflicts in the minivan. Sometimes, you know, who's going to sit where, who's going to drive, and that sort of thing. where we're going to stop, who needs a break. That's our little bubble there. But at nighttime, sometimes we used to carry a tent. We had a large family tent, and we would take the tent out, and we would camp where we could camp. And I don't know if you've ever been in a tent, if you've done any camping. Do you ever been in a tent when there's a light rain going on or the wind picks up outside? What's it sound like in the tent? It sounds like the world's coming apart, doesn't it? I mean, it seems to be so loud and noisy in the tent. And you think, but you go outside after you hear this noise and you're, oh, it's just a light shower. My point is, get out of your bubble so that your molehills don't look like mountains. Get out of your tent so you really gain perspective of what's going on in the world. Nothing can cure a personal pity party faster than getting to know and serving others. If you stay in your own little bubble, that's not good. When we get to know others, we get to learn their stories, we begin to understand the struggles others are facing and how they're able to overcome them. And when that happens, guess what? We get inspired by them. We're inspired by the challenges that people have gone through and came out on the other side and they were better for it. And sometimes we wonder to ourselves, if I was in that situation, could I have gone through that like they did? Third, don't scoff at small beginnings. That's the other one. Don't scoff at small beginnings. On our 6,000-mile round trip, not just 6,000 one way, that would take you somewhere into the England or somewhere like that, but when we were at the Outer Banks of North Carolina, we visited a very special place called Kitty Hawk. You know what happened in Kitty Hawk? Probably you do. The place where the two bicycle repairmen, Orville and Wilbur Wright, were the first ones to design and first in flight. Really, that's what it says on the North Carolina license plate. And so on that day, when they finally got into the air, they had a 60-foot long runway. That's all, 60 feet. I don't know, is this from here to the back of the church? Is that 60 feet? It was made out of four 15-foot 2x4s laid end-to-end. That was all they had. And they did four test flights that day. The first one, they got off the ground. They went 60 feet on the runway, and they went 100 feet in the air. Just over 100 feet, it says. The next time they did it, they got to 125 feet. So they were congratulating each other. Hey, we got to 20 extra 25 feet. The third time, they got to 175. Hey, what do you think they did on their fourth one? Anybody want to guess 200, 250, 300? They went on that fourth trial, they went 800 feet. So they went much further. And that was back in 1903. You could do the math how long ago that was. So that'd be what? 120 years ago, 21 years ago. 66 years later, after 1903, one of those Wright brothers was still alive. And guess what he saw on that day? He saw Chuck Yeager break the sound barrier with a jet. And I don't know how fast that is, but I make that comparison to our sharing of the gospel. It's easy to think about the hundreds of millions of people who have been impacted over the generations and continue to do so today by the gospel. But we can never forget about our humble beginnings. Even the whole Christianity had a very humble beginning, didn't it? One man, Abraham, followed God to an unknown land. Joseph was sold into slavery, but rose to power where he could help save the Jews. Moses was rescued from the Nile to lead his people out of Egypt. And of course, the baby Jesus in the manger and his small group of followers, his 12 disciples. Sometimes we're tempted to think and look at our church and say, oh, we're just one small church on one corner of a small village in one small town. And we say to ourselves, what can we ever do to make a difference in this great big world we live in? But then we need to remember, If we can, by God's wisdom and strength and love, make a difference in just one person's life, then we've done something marvelous and miraculous and great in the Lord's eyes. So if you bring one person to Christ through sharing, through investing in their lives, you are making a world of difference in that person's life. What fruit our testimonies will bear in the future is still yet to be determined. God knows them, though, and guess what? They're for His glory when they are revealed. So let us not scoff at the little things, because Jesus said, if we are faithful in the little things, then He will give us greater responsibilities in the future. Now, I want to close with one interesting note about our trips, and that is that I had a van that had a defective fuel gauge. And I would fill it up at the gas station, and it would the alarm bell would go off and say I was empty. I didn't have any gas in the tank. And I know I did, because I just stood there and watched the gas and the meter go up and the price go up. And I knew that I definitely had, and I didn't see any, it wasn't running on the ground anywhere. So I knew it was in the gas, it was in the gas tank. And the interesting thing about that tank is that it would stay on empty until I drove down the road for a while, and then all of a sudden it would somehow register and it would come up and show full, which is quite unusual. I never had a car like that before. But you know what? It's the same way with our faith. And I will say this, because I call that the Christian gas gauge. Because it's simple that that's how faith works in our life. We have to move out. James says that faith is really based on our action. We have to act. We know the truth. We can't just know the truth, but we have to live the truth and act the truth. And so even though the gas gauge says there's nothing there, we know better because we know the truth. And when we step out in faith, knowing that, eventually the gas gauge will catch up, but it's tied to our actions. Our faith kicks in when we finally choose to act. Because all, and for intents and purposes, faith is action. James says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but to do what it says. And he says, when we do that, we will be blessed in what we do, by doing it. So I conclude with this. Do you know how you can tell if a church, or any church, believes that God can do miracles? All we have to do is look at their actions. Look at their actions. Do you want to know if people believe in what God says? When it says, do not be afraid, I will always be with you. Take note of their actions. Do you want to know if people believe God's promise that He will give you the words to speak at the right time when you're questioned about your faith? Action speaks volumes. God wants His church to be a church of faith. I totally believe that. Without faith, we no longer are a church. Your faith gauge may read empty, and you may look at that and say, I have no faith. Therefore, there's nothing I can do. We may think that sometimes. We can look at life like that. Then it's a horrible way to look at life, because then it becomes a wasted life. But there's a second option. That your faith gauge, even though your faith gauge says empty, what do? Well, you call out to God in honesty and in humility and say, God, I have no faith. Call out to the one who promises are never broken. His resources are never fail. They are never emptied. And you ask Him for faith. For faith is a gift of God, the Bible says. And our God loves to give faith. Then after you call out to God, believing that He has given you faith, then move out in action. Even though the gas gauge says empty. Don't wait for the gas gauge to move. It won't move until you do. Well, there are other things I could share about our trips. One is that if you swim with jellyfish, you're probably going to get stung. That happened to one of my kids. But remember, what background noises are you listening to? How is it affecting with your walk with God? Number one. Number two, don't scoff at the small things. God, If we're faithful in the little things, He will give us more responsibilities. And finally, what is your faith gauge? Reading. If it's reading on empty, that's okay. You know what God's Word says. He has given us the faith because you've asked Him for it. And now He has given it to you. Now we move out. Call out to God, move out in action. Why do all this? Because we're made to serve and to love and to give God glory, our Creator. Give Him glory for our lives through the church.